Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. The listen line number, just let's start off with that. The listen line number for Reclaiming the Republic and Red State Talk Radio shows is 605-562-4209. That's the primary number you want to dial into if you cannot stream this show. So let's just kind of start off with that. That way you can go ahead and dial in and start traveling or doing what you need to do. You will want to listen to the show. We're going to be focused on republicanism and the scale of liberty and the importance of how they play hand in hand in the design of our constitutional republic. So we're going to dive into that topic today, and we'll just carry it on as many episodes as we need to, because we definitely want to make sure you understand why American republicanism is integral to individual liberty and how it plays a check and balance in our political system. These things are critical because these are the things that we are not abiding by regarding our form of government. Because remember, Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, we're supposed to have a republican form of government, but they didn't define what that republican form of government is or should be. They actually gave us the complete example and they set up the system, but they have obfuscated or they have perverted and or subverted the real American republicanism to help us migrate towards a democracy. And that's mob rule, and that's where that's where tyranny and despotism abounds. And the framers completely understood this. That's why they gave us such a, and I don't want to say it's a complicated system at all. I think it's a very beautiful and very simplistic system once you understand it. So we want to get through that, but we need to kind of dig into the scale of liberty first and some fundamentals before we get into republicanism. As you know, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. There are all sorts of things happening in the news, whether somebody's dying in jail or whether, you know, some corruption is occurring, whether communists are using hyperbole and trying to convince you that we're better off voting for them because they're going to give you free stuff. Those things are distractions. We already know it's getting bad, and it's getting bad by the hour, by the minute. And we need to really focus on fundamental principles and what we need to do to take back this constitutional republic. Because as we start moving forward, you don't need to understand how to build the rocket to launch it. All you need to know is you push this button, and this will happen, and, you know, whatever the steps in the process are, we've got it all documented for you. And by the way, if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, you'll be able to find exactly where, right there on the homepage, exactly the process, the arguments for this, and all of that. It's right there. That's where you go, okay? Now, we'll also tell you that the show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org, and this show is focused. We're pretty myopic on the Constitution. We only care about obtaining full compliance to the Constitution. There's all sorts of other, we want conservative values. What are conservative values? Please keep in mind, conserving and conservative is trying to keep things the way they are. Are you happy with the way things are? Or do you want to restore our hybrid constitutional republic the way it was designed by our framers through the inspiration of the divine hand of providence? If you are interested in restoring our hybrid constitutional republic, then that's why you listen to this show. And that's why you need to tell other people that this isn't about conservatism anymore. This isn't about the right and left. This isn't about the battlefields that the progressives, the secular progressives, have successfully moved everybody in this nation to. And that is to the national arena on the premise of a left and right battle. No, that's not where we need to be. We need to be back into the republicanism and back in the republic of this constitutional republic, so that the battlefield is actually at every state capital. It is not in D.C. D.C. is where we finish this war, if you want to call it a political war. But that is the final battle. But that is not where the battle really occurs. Actually, it's not even a battle. It is really a matter of applying political force to D.C. And we have all the constitutional weaponry necessary in doing this. Again, this all goes to the grand design, or that divine hand of providence, and the insights that he possessed, our creator possessed, if you want to get out of the gender thing. But there's no doubt in my mind that what we have and what we've been given is everything necessary to actually save our constitutional republic, or like I call it, a hybrid constitutional republic, because we're not a federation and we're not a confederation. We are a hybrid between the two. If you understand, a federation is where you've delegated all powers. You have a general constitution that delegates all powers to a federal government. If you're a confederation, then you have a general government with very limited, and the confederations, or the independent states, basically manage everything. And so the general government isn't capable and does not have the power for taxing, declaring those types of wars and those things. Because usually what happens is when you surrender that much power to a federation, then you've typically have done that in a general fashion, and then they just consume all power. But our Constitution was so well done that they delegated very specific powers for very specific roles and responsibilities. And that was it. So we have a hybrid constitutional republic. The reason I call it that, and the reason I demand in referring to it that way, I tend to forget myself, but I want you to start using hybrid constitutional republic. Why? Because it makes people think that it's not just the constitutional republic that some people generically think of, or how we've been taught a little bit. No, because most people think in the constitutional context, oh, there's things like constitutional law. The federal government has all these powers. And no, they don't. Within our constitution are the enumerated powers. And that's why you have to refer to it in the hybrid constitutional republic, because in doing so, you're really pointing towards that constitution as defining every role, responsibility, and power, and not allowing the general government or the federal government to dictate what powers they believe they have and possess and can levy on us. They've been using that type of coercion, and they've been making it up as they go along, if you kind of understand how, you know, kids will play, and that's how kids get out of hand in their play. I'll remind you one more time. Our listen number is 605-562-4209. I'm going to try to do better in remembering to tell you that, because sometimes you have to punch out, and it'd be nice to know what was that number I didn't think I needed? Anyway, we're not going to cover any of the marketing news today. And in our future episodes, we will be covering republicanism, at least today, and however long it takes to get us through this content, because it is very important. Like I said, we have to understand these fundamentals. It's just like, why is it, and I'll say this several times and in sorts of all sorts of contexts, we need to read our scriptures to understand the fundamental tenets of the doctrine of our religion, regardless of what that religion is, what faith. The point is that when people start to subvert and pervert your doctrines of religion, it becomes very obvious, because by reading the scriptures, you say, well, hold it. It says here, thou shalt not lie. And now it's okay to lie? Well, it's okay to lie to further your cause? Huh? No, there's no stipulations. It is that you do not do this. And so when people start changing their doctrines and or morphing or what have you, then you can understand how the fundamental principles have been perverted for a very unrighteous reason. The same thing applies to our founding documents. The same thing applies to understanding our Constitution. If you want to understand our Constitution, you have to read the ratification debates, period. If you do not read the ratification debates, then you do not have an understanding of the Constitution. I've talked to many people, constitutional lawyers, and they do not understand the Constitution as it was designed and its purposes and so forth. And you end up going around in circles with these folks because they are trapped in this maze of legalese and lawyerism and the good old boy club in believing that, you know, they're the ones that interpret the Constitution. No, we don't need them to interpret the Constitution. That's what the states are for. Remember, anything that is going to become a change or a modification or some new definition of a clause, the states have to have buy-in into that. That's what Article 5 is all about. The whole process of amending the Constitution has been given and is reserved by the states. The states have the authority to dictate whether that's going to be a constitutional definition or not. And so, as you can tell, we're at a heartbreak. We're going to go into these two promos. We'll be back and we will be focusing on first on liberty. Then we'll get into natural law and get into republicanism because these are all integral. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Well, before I get into liberty and republicanism, let me kind of go through those things that I think is also important because we need support. We need your support. So if you want to support the show directly, our sponsor is Red State Coffee. We would ask that you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, click on our link and go ahead and order yourself a 12-ounce, or I think it's a pound, it's a 1-pound bag of Red State Coffee. And you will find that you are now drinking an elite coffee, a premium coffee, and actually supporting Red State Talk Radio, and specifically
this show. The proceeds go to this show. So please consider supporting Reclaiming the Republic by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and pick up some Red State Coffee. They offer both beans and grind. And call us 425-270-5416 and let us know what you think of this product. We would love to have you help advertise as a first-hand taster, as a first-hand expertise and experience and so forth. I mean, please help us get involved and help us directly by buying Red State Coffee. We also have a social or crowdfunding out there on GoFundMe. It's Reclaiming the Republic, by all means. You can also help us that way directly. I'll say this, that all of the support that we've gotten from the crowdfunding has come in from Patriot Soapbox 24/7. And so if you go to YouTube and you check out the Patriot Soapbox, they have a very strong listener. They have a lot of listeners. They have a lot of followers. But these people on that network are people that are very involved, and they want to support. And so they've actually been supportive of us. I'd love to see our listeners starting to support us as well. I don't ask that you send us lots of money. As a matter of fact, if you're really tight on money, I ask that you save money for next year's election. We will need political leverage for next year's election. So please, please put aside 1 gallon of gas in a little savings jar, a savings account or something, so that you can have a few hundred dollars by next election in 2020 to throw that money into campaigns in Wyoming, South Dakota, Kansas, the states that we're going to be working in. And we want you to support these candidates. If you live in a blue state, these are the only candidates that are actually going to be working to help you restore your liberty in your blue states. There is no other way. If you vote for and you spend your money, if you spend your political leverage and money, your political capital on a local candidate in a blue state that is a solid blue state, in other words, it's not even teetering, then you've just thrown bad money or good money to bad, because you will never be able to overcome the blue machine. It's not about politics to them. It is about every facet of life. They control the education system. They control the media. They control everything. If you want to get these things they control out of their nasty fingers, then you have to start throwing your money into the red states, because that is where the political battle will begin and it will start to spread. And that's how we get your state back as well. So please start saving money for the political campaigns coming up in 2020. I've kind of ignored some of the listener feedback and so forth, but I do appreciate the feedback that I have gotten, and I don't want to differentiate anybody because I can't think of it right now, and I didn't take the time to make notations of it because I usually like to do that. But I do appreciate everybody's feedback regarding the ratification debates. You will find the power actually exists in these documents. If you understand the scriptures in Judeo-Christianism, why is it that we had those scriptures? Because the prophets that wrote those scriptures, right? Jesus and his apostles, or in the Old Testament, the prophets, they wrote revelations for things that people needed to understand and people needed to do. They were, they clarified what to do, how to do things, and so forth. If you look at the ratification debates, they are tantamount to scriptures for our government. But instead of being in a religious sense, they're political scriptures for our form of government. And more specifically, they are focused on defining the tenets and the doctrines of our Constitution. That's why these things are so important. So, before I do the final leap into the actual main topic, let me thank you for tuning in. I'd like to do this every day. I'd like to thank you because you are integral in just receiving this message and sharing it. That is probably, you know, a bedrock of the growth of this show, as well as a bedrock to the sustainment and moving this message forward. Because as you learn it, you're able to repeat it. And it's not that simple, or I should say it's not that hard. It is actually rather simple. It's all about auditing the contract, because the Constitution's a contract, and understanding that and what we need to do, there you go. I mean, if you understand that all we've got to do is audit the contract, identify all the problems, and then demand that the federal government comply. Well, what happens is if you just demand right now, you know, you go to D.C. and you make a demand, they're going to ignore you. But when you get states to start banding together and coming together on the concept of republic review, then they actually start creating political power and force. And when they accumulate enough states, which is 27 currently, 27 states is enough political force to force the federal government into compliance. We don't need 100%. We don't need 3/4. We don't even need 2/3. We just need a little over 50%. And that's, we're kind of applying mobocracy, but that is built into this Constitution. And so when you want to understand what it takes, then go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. We've got the arguments there. We also have the process as well as a model. By all means, go check it out. Get smart on that front page. The homepage documents that we have there are the information that we've put on that page. And the links to the model are at the very bottom of that page. Now, if you go to, I'm going to tell you where to go. I might as well look it up so I can actually tell you accurately where to go. It's the Take Action page. If you go to the Take Action page, I also have some presentations that are there that you can actually look at and, you know, follow the documents. I even have the presentations themselves, the PowerPoints there for you. So we have the content. Please, by all means, you know, become smart on it. And actually, because the presentations are there, I don't care if you start presenting this stuff locally. Just give me a call. I'd be happy to help you. You just can't make it a profit type of thing, because I'll tell you what, if you try to go down the profit path, because I learned this a long time ago, if you go down the profit path, then you will fail. You may make money, but you will fail, and we will not save this Constitutional Republic, because the only reason the framers were able to obtain such inspiration from the divine hand of providence, because it wasn't about money for them. They weren't serving mammon. They were serving their posterity and the good people of the time. We have to do the exact same thing. And that's why all the money that I get that comes in for the sale of the books and everything else, it goes to the education. It doesn't go to any part of my lifestyle or any of my expenses other than travel expenses, the expenses of doing the work. So if that makes sense, then that may be another good reason, another good justification for you to consider helping us out and getting involved and helping. So let me get back to the importance of reading our founding documents and why this is important. And I already kind of touched on this, but I want to regurgitate these important thoughts. If you understand the fundamentals of your religion, such as the Bible, then you have to understand it by reading it. It's not just taking somebody's word for it. If one does not know and understand the actual tenets and doctrines as defined in these documents, then the tenets can change without you knowing. I say this time and time again, and that is a truth, that is a reality. There's nothing we can do about that unless we understand exactly what these tenets and doctrines are. Then you know when things are becoming perverted. And so that's why anybody that reads the ratification debates, anybody that reads the ratification debates today will understand how far away we have drifted from the fundamental basics, the establishment and the what's the best word for it? What is the best? How the framers galvanized all the checks and balances, the processes, everything as it was defined in the Constitution and defined by the states, we have drifted away from that. What was installed, what was instilled, that has been perverted and morphed into a monster. Let me also say this. Mankind has struggled. We have struggled for years and years. Actually, since Adam and Eve, we have been struggling with two different ideologies. And we'll get into those ideologies and the struggle when we get back from this break. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after these promos. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so I was just opening the door, getting a little crack here to kind of expose you to this concept that from the beginning of mankind, mankind has struggled between two opposing ideologies. Fundamentally, we have been fighting a civil war, even within ourselves, as we struggle back and forth between these two ideologies. And again, like I said, this dates back to the beginning of mankind, all the way back to Adam and Eve. These diametrically opposing ideologies are individual liberty, and subjugation to the state or subjugation to the religion, which is basically the state, a theocracy or what have you. We either live our life with individual liberty and have a form of government that supports, protects, and defines individual liberty as the one we have, or we gravitate towards subjugation to the state. These two ends are literally opposites of each other. And if you can understand or just visualize a band of grays, shades of gray, that start on one end at pure white and slowly, slowly become gray, gray, grayer, darker gray, all the way becoming black. That is the scale of liberty from white to black, and this is not racism. White is the projection of energy, a projection of light, and black is the absence of that energy. And so if you work with me on this scale of liberty as I just described it, you can understand that the white side is the side of liberty, and the black side is the side of subjugation. If one understands liberty, liberty is one of tolerance, justice, and mercy and objectivity. This is the side where one has the free agency and the opportunities to find truth. This is where one, if you're a Christian, would find Christ's characteristics in those who are on this end of this ideology. In other words, they believe in being fair, having the laws defined, providing justice and even mercy, understanding objectivity, that we all have different tastes and so forth, and it is subjective. But on the other side, which is subjugation, that is the side of intolerance, hate, fear, and ultimately death, where on the liberty side is where one finds life, where one can live to one's pursuits of happiness and so forth. On subjugation, this is the side where one finds the evil characteristics of man or the carnal man. Now, as one actually kind of looks at this band of liberty, those on the side of liberty are those who want you to be free to think and do what you believe is best for you, as long as you stay within the frameworks and the laws of the land and or the laws of the religion. So if you understand America, and I'll just go on a little tangent here. If you understand the beginnings of America, they didn't have necessarily written law that made certain things legal, certain things illegal, and so forth. Those laws were maintained, most of the, let's call them the blue laws, let's call them the, like, prostitution and adultery, those types of things. Those weren't laws of government originally. Those were the laws of the church. And so when one violated the religious laws of your community, then you would be shamed and or you would be treated as such, or you kicked out. I mean, in Massachusetts, when somebody started doing bad things, I mean, there were ultimate penalties. I don't believe that anybody was ever stoned for adultery. May have been, I don't know, but I do know people were put to death for being witches and or teaching real evil things, as well as some people were actually banished from the New England states, and that's what created some new religions like Baptists and so forth. And so if you understand the paradigm that they had back in the beginning of this Constitutional Republic, they didn't have to create a law for everything. The churches were the ones that already had those moral codes and the moral laws, and the people embraced those willingly because they knew that society was much freer when one lived within those laws. Now, I think people go, how can you be free when you're living within laws? Because you can be far more productive. Society can be far more productive and move and advance in light speed when you are in harmony with these types of laws. And that's what one would see if you started looking at the history of the early Americans. Now, what ended up happening, and we have just now hit the crossing point to where we have less than half of America that believes in enlightenment, that believes in the fundamental tenets that started this nation out, because we have been hammered by the progressives in the education system to accept their doctrine. They're completely intolerant and so forth. But the whole point is that we were able to rapidly move forward, and that's why America has been the greatest nation for the past 200 years easily and the most productive. We have developed more wealth than any other nation as far as individuals and making others wealthy. Now, we have a lot of nefarious people today that are billionaires and have created collusion with government that have been able to, you know, extrapolate your wealth via the mechanisms of the energy markets and so forth. So to be truthful, even though we still have a good system, we have a system that has been completely perverted. If you want to go down the tangent of how corporations and monopolies are good, it is the Alcoa example is probably one of the best I could think of, because Alcoa, when they were mining aluminum and the aluminum products a long, long time ago, and I believe it was at the beginning of the 20th century when they were mining and creating these products, no other company could compete with them because they kept on lowering the price. Well, that's, people say, well, that's terrible. You don't have any competition when somebody has a monopoly. Well, who cares? Who cares if there is a good, righteous company that is out there beating everybody and maintaining the lowest cost possible so that they can still make their profits and still be able to stay in business and still sell you a product at the bottom price that nobody can come in and compete with them? Really, that's a bad thing? Show me where that is a bad thing. Now, it could become a bad thing, but as soon as it becomes a bad thing, as soon as they start raising prices, then all of a sudden, in a true competitive environment without government management and manipulation, any company can start coming in and undercutting them and creating a competitive environment. This is why Alcoa was very successful in keeping everybody out of the aluminum business. So here I am to tell you that the only reason that there has become competition in aluminum is because of government, because other companies colluded with government to get them to help them by making Alcoa raise their prices so that they could get in and underneath and compete and make some money. That, my friends, is what you would call evil government colluding with corporations to hurt you, because now you're paying more. And so, the truth be told, monopolies aren't bad, but 9 times out of 10 and almost 100% of the time, monopolies are working with government and colluding with them to your disadvantage, to the people's demise. Now, let me get back onto this paradigm of liberty and individual liberty and individual sovereignty as well as subjugation. When this paradigm ran, when we in the beginning through education and in this paradigm of individual liberty and sovereignty, at the beginning, academia was free. Kids could learn about creation. They could even challenge creation. There was never a point in time, well, I can't say never. There may have been individuals, but the system itself was designed that academia was to be free. And here's the interesting thing. This was a Christian religious philosophy that academia must be free. Today, under secularism, academia is fully controlled by the government, and they mandate what the curriculum is, and the kids either teach and learn what they're supposed to learn, or they fail. There's no freedom in academia anymore. You can't come in and argue against evolution with intelligent design. You can't provide scientific evidence of harmful things that are occurring from education, government, and so forth. It is not allowed. Academia is not free. It is controlling. It is a self-licking ice cream cone because it is in business to protect itself and to continually convince everybody that is within their petri dish that they will comply. The old Peter Gabriel song, "We Do What We're Told." Anyway, we're at a break. We will come back and we will get more into the subjugation side of the scale of liberty as well as the liberty side. And then we'll start getting into natural law and republicanism. So please stay tuned and we'll be right back. Thank you so much. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
All right, so, excuse me. As we were going into the break, I started talking about freedom and free academia, and how academia needed to be free, or the learning environment needed to be free. Let me give you some context, because as one understands, there are different measures of control in our society. Like I said before, in early America, there were measures of control, but those controls were done by the religious organizations and the community. They weren't done by law and government. As a matter of fact, like I said, if you were to commit a sin, fornication, or what have you, they didn't have a law in the books that kids couldn't have sex. They started creating those laws when they started realizing that people were, you know, pedophiles were out there, you know, having sex, or, you know, infanticide and abortion, those types of things. They started having to put laws on the books. But they had, as they started moving forward, they had what they call blue laws. And a blue law is a law that is driven by religious doctrine that basically states that, you know, you cannot buy alcohol on Sundays. There are states that still have blue laws, and it is driven by the mores and the predominant religious groups within a state or community. Now, there are blue laws that are also done by the state. They're called state-controlled laws, where the state creates laws and says this is legal, or they dictate what you can do. And so if you start understanding the concept of blue laws and state control laws, both of them are built on the premise of control, right? And so if you understand it's about control, then what's the difference between a blue law and a state law when they started regulating things, such as now it is state has dictated that two men can get married. They've changed from a blue law of marriages between a man and a woman. Now it's a state or secular law. Let's call it secular law. And now
you know, two men or two women. Homosexuals can get married, or transgenders can have, you know, these laws and access to their own bathrooms or their self-identified bathrooms and so forth. Those are secular laws. These things are done supposedly to protect oneself. You know, in other words, the state or the religion knows better. But if you understand the difference between these are actually the same. I mean, when I ask people, what's the difference between a blue law and a state law? Well, they're all designed to protect you, and they're all based on the premise that they know better than the layman, the average dolt that is out there, that thinks, you know, I should be, you know, be able to drink and buy liquor 24/7, 365. Okay. And so that I can destroy my liver or do whatever I want. But if you understand, there's really no difference other than a blue law are laws to protect your moral and spiritualness. State law are laws to allow, or I should say secular laws, are laws that are allowed to let you damage yourself and damage the mores of society. So one has kind of a positive effect on maintaining the high mores and enlightenment, and the other one has a degenerative debasement effect. When all of a sudden, you know, we want kids at the age of 10 to sexualize. I mean, this was so perverse. We become so perverse. In the 60s, the 50s, kids were not allowed to sexualize, and it was just considered, you know, an abomination that children under, you know, even under pubescence, children before they became a young adult, a teenager, 18 or 16 years old, were not allowed to engage in sexual activity. If parents allowed that, or if parents allowed children to drink or smoke or anything, that's called the delinquency of a minor and, you know, abuse and so forth. But all of a sudden, the state says it's okay to abuse our kids. Well, I mean, why not? Because it's okay to kill them, too. They're okay with abortion. The woman can kill a child even as she's giving birth to it. And that's infanticide. So if you understand the who's being protected, the state is literally protecting the path of destroying mores and enlightenment. It is a dark side. And they're very intolerant towards you. In other words, if you want to start calling this is a sin, this is, you know, this is wrong, then they're creating laws now on the books to shut you up and to keep you from being able to say that's a sin. How dare you tell somebody that they're doing something that's a sin and wrong and making them feel bad? You have no right to make somebody feel bad about what they're doing. And so they're protecting the evil mores, and they're protecting one's ability to debase society. We're on a very bad slippery slope. And so if you do understand these two sides, it is okay. You know, you have to leave this to the communities. The communities are the ones that have to fight these battles and say, we do not want, you know, homosexual marriage, or we do not want, the blackouts of liquor. We want to be able to buy liquor 24/7, 365. If a bar wants to be open or a store wants to sell liquor 24/7, then you know, we want to be able to do that. Well, leave that to the local inhabitants. If you do, you'll have thousands of petri dishes in all these different counties and so forth, because the sub-element of our hybrid constitutional republic are counties. When states start creating and the federal government starts creating draconian laws and mandating and dictating, this is how you will act, that's where we get into subjugation. It's one thing at the local level to dabble with some levels of controls, but when government at the top level starts taking control, then that is where we start moving towards subjugation. Because bottom line, there's nowhere to hide when the federal government says that homosexual marriage is the law of the land, unconstitutionally, because only the states can do that. And so that's the beauty of our system. But they are still doing and they're still exercising a level of unconstitutional control. So we're going to get into the republicanism side of this. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to help delineate between, you know, the concepts of liberty, sovereignty, and the concepts of subjugation in this scale of liberty, so that, you know, we can create this paradigm of where controls really need to be. Because if you don't like your community, you can always move. And then that doesn't follow you. You can move into the community that doesn't do vaccinations, that doesn't take your children away from you. You can have parental rights in this community, in this state. But when it gets up to the top level of the federal government, it becomes statism. And even when it comes to the top level of the state, it becomes statism. And the framers were very, very cognitive of trying to reduce how much controls were put in the hands of the federal government as well as the state governments. And they left these things to the counties. I mean, states did have, and they enjoyed a lot more powers and had a lot more abilities of regulating and controlling their folks. But bottom line, what we're looking at today and the direction we're trying to go in is statism at the national level. And so that's why I'm trying to get through all of this fundamental information and education so that you understand where we are and why this is all wrong and how it is affecting us. So it's giving you a macro view here. The people on the side of subjugation are those in education who want to control every facet of the topics that are being taught and will not allow academia to be free that poses any type of questions to their narrative. How dare you question evolution? How dare you question gender dysphoria? You know, kids should be able to, you know, participate and engage in it. One of the things that I always pointed out is, why is it that homosexuals who, if you understand the concept of homosexuality, they are embracing a lifestyle and a behavior that is void of being able to have children. So, okay, you go down that path. There are consequences that you'll never have children. So why is it that we allow them to have any say in education? They don't have kids. They don't want kids. They want to live a perverse lifestyle. And so, okay, that's fine. But there are consequences to that. You can't have any say over kids. Those of us who want to procreate and have kids should be the ones that dictate what that education curriculum should be. Why is it that there are people that have become so perverted that are, you know, having kids and they still want their kids to become perverted and subvert themselves? Are you kidding me? Well, my friends, this is just the tip of the iceberg. We have a lot to go through, and we will get into them in our next episode. So please remember, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. So we'll be back tomorrow on more of the individual liberty and republicanisms. Thank you so much. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.